Welcome to the Government Contract Legal Roundup, a podcast focusing on important developments facing government contractors and grant recipients. This podcast is put on by the Jenner and Block Government Contracts Practice Group. I'm David Robbins, the co-chair of the group, and it's my pleasure to continue to host this podcast. Now, look, it's been a fairly slow period, so let's do a quick update on a claims case and the new inflation-adjusted False Claims Act damages, and then we're going to talk about something I've been following closely: artificial intelligence and its impact on government contracting. But first, claims cases. Let's talk about Ares Construction Corp. The U.S. decided late last month. Here, the Court of Federal Claims, Judge Schwartz, issued an opinion discussing the relationship between the Contract Disputes Act claims submission requirement and contractor claims for breach of the duty of good faith and fair dealing. The long line of Federal Circuit precedent requires contractors to submit their claims relating to a contract dispute to the contracting officer for decision before raising those claims at the Board of Contract Appeals or the Court of Federal Claims. Here, though, the plaintiff submitted claims seeking equitable adjustment based on constructive change theory. The contracting officer denied the claims. The plaintiff appealed to the court, and in addition to alleging breach of contract, also alleged breach of the implied duty of good faith and fair dealing. The government moved to dismiss the implied contract theory on the basis that it was never presented to the contracting officer. Providing a useful summary of the relevant legal principles, Judge Schwartz denied the government's motion, finding that the plaintiff's CDA claim put the contracting officer on notice of the relevant facts and legal basis that could support a breach of implied contract claim. While the Federal Circuit has strictly construed and enforced the requirement for a CDA claim submission, it has also made clear that the legal theories raised on appeal will not necessarily be stated verbatim in the claim. It is critical, then, for contractors and their counsel to be careful and deliberate when crafting a claim, and also to understand how the language of the claim may impact future appeals litigation. This is particularly true when it comes to alleged breaches of the implied duty of good faith and fair dealing. Pivoting to inflation adjustments for False Claims Act penalties, the latest CPI-adjusted FCA penalties range is out. Penalties assessed after January 30th of this year, where the underlying violations occurred in November 2015 or later, will range from $13,508 on the low end to $27,018 on the high end. False Claims Act damages continue to drive an awful lot of concern in the government contracts community, as they should, given that these penalties are as high as they are as adjusted for inflation. It's always important to treat any potential inbound request that might lead to False Claims Act concerns seriously. Bring on capable counsel early who are experienced in seeking off-ramps and ways to de-escalate before you're faced with demands for damages and penalties in that range. All right, let's talk for a moment about artificial intelligence. I teased that at the front end. Now, we all know ChatGPT has taken the world by storm. It's not quite ready to craft a podcast script, at least for government contractors. You know, I asked, didn't go too well, but it's certainly interesting. But this is an area I've been following personally for a while. I've also spoken with a few DOD and federal agency chief information officers to get their views, and they align with my thinking as well. Obviously, they're the technical experts, so I would weight their views more heavily than my own, but we're aligned here. This isn't going to be a sea change, a sharp turn, a grand leap, whichever metaphor, euphemism, whatever you want to use. Instead, it's going to be a deliberate, determined march forward of continuous evolutionary change. And while that's incredibly promising for the future, we also know that the government isn't always great at managing evolutionary change. So at least from my perspective, here are the key issues that I'm watching and will be watching in the coming months and years as AI continues to take hold. First, it's the automation of more routine tasks like call centers, benefits analysis, things like that. There's also tremendous opportunity, in my view, within the acquisition workforce and within source selections and contract administration for AI to add value. The more routine tasks can and will be automated. The much harder areas, though, are in predictive analytics. How do we get it right? How do we address the bias in order to make sure what we get actually is right? Another hard area, of course, is in weapons systems development. Now, we're not talking about Skynet from Terminator or The Matrix, right? But there will always be a lingering fear for that. So here's where two foundational documents from DOD come into play, in my view. The first is the U.S. Department of Defense Responsible Artificial Intelligence Strategy and Implementation Pathway document, which builds in and overlays ethical principles for AI over existing frameworks and set forth a strategy and implementation instruction that emphasizes governance and trust within a system that develops and validates AI capabilities not just for functionality, but for ethical norms as well. And it calls for the development of AI-capable workforce that is able to acquire and interact with AI on a daily basis. That's key for me. Nothing emphasizes to me just how much AI will change everything than this document. We're talking about finding a workforce that interacts with artificial intelligence on a daily basis while doing the business of the country. It's also fascinating to me to take a look at DoD Directive 3000.09, Autonomy and Weapon Systems, which brings forward, again, for me anyway, the advances in warfare and warfighting capability that are to come, and the need to build them ethically, but in a hardened way to avoid adversarial attacks, spoofing, compromising the system, training it against us, and the like. Now, if cybersecurity has been so hard to define and implement in our industry over the last decade or more as it has been, we've got a ways to go in order to field and use autonomous systems that are hardened and able to repel any determined, sophisticated adversary. It really highlights for me the challenges we're going to face as we implement this transformational technology. All right, that was a little more pie in the sky, I think, than we usually go, and a little more sort of deep thinking about future events, but we hope it's useful to you. We'll close the podcast edition with that. Thank you, as always, for joining us for the Government Contract Legal Roundup. If you have any questions or need more any information about anything here, again, I'm David Robbins. My phone number 202-639-6040, and email drobbins@jenner.com. We'll see you next time.